Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Go to thefandc.com. When you do, you'll find all kinds of thought-provoking content, analysis, columns from our guy, Rick Snyder. He's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. His last piece was on the Reuben Foster injury. Rick, what did you make out of that setback for the Redskins and just the fact that it seems like no matter what they do, they can't get out of their own way with injuries?
Yeah, it's just such a bad precursor to everything. I mean, they've had about 25 people hurt each of the last 2 years. Here we go, three snaps into the first OTA, and down goes the starter. Which is just a freak injury. Stepped on somebody's foot and came down weird. It was away from the ball. I mean, I didn't even see him fall at the time. He was on the other side of the field. And suddenly it's like, oh, it's a torn ACL. It's like, seriously? How do they have such bad luck with such a thing? But was he a difference maker? I don't know. This is a pretty good defense this year. Obviously, it would have helped them, but we've never seen him on the field here. So do you lose something you never had? I don't know, but I think, you know, certainly it doesn't help. That's for sure. And this could have been a really knockout defense. You take one piece away now, how many more pieces do you take away?
First time I was ever around the Redskins, and I'll use air quotes, in a media capacity, 1999 in Frostburg. I was 10. I was there with Channel 9 as a little kid doing some funny little skits. You were very nice to me and very kind to me right away. When did you actually start with the Redskins? And I'm getting somewhere with this.
You mean like the first time I covered a Redskins was in 1983.
Okay. Their training camp schedule just came out today. It's unrecognizable. Right. These camps are so short. There's like, I want to say, a dozen open dates for fans, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, then the following Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I feel like it used to be, I feel like an old man saying this, like 30 straight days of two-a-days where you could go to pretty much any practice. The game has changed, not just in terms of the league, but fan participation at training camp.
Right. I mean, the Redskins were never really a big draw, even in Carlisle days, you know, way back days. Frostburg, nobody came. There was like 50 people a day there. And we would spend, you know, they used to do 8 weeks in Carlisle, then we did 6 weeks in Frostburg. Man, that's just like forever. And then, it's steadily dwindled down, and it's part of a league trend of trying to do less in training camp and more in the off season. Because years ago, OTAs were like nothing. There was none of this kind of stuff. They had a mini camp. That was about it. So they shifted all of that to May and June. And, of course, they don't hit any hardly in camp. I mean, Marty Schottenheimer had them hit twice a day for 6 weeks up there. And it was crazy. That was the last time I saw the Oklahoma drill, by the way. It was Marty's first day. He invited fans down onto the field and formed the ring.
You know? No way.
Wow.
Yeah, the fans all came down and formed the ring around the players.
That's awesome.
And that's the last time I've ever seen that. I don't even know if we did that when I was in high school. And so I saw they outlawed it. I just thought, who's still doing it? But, you know, the fan experience has always been kind of light for the Redskins. And, you know, the RG3 years, first year would be the difference. Man, that was a three-hour scream fest of RG3 for you know, the whole summer. That drew a lot of people. But outside of that, they've never been. And maybe the year they were in Ashburn, the first year, where they charged $10, they actually drew pretty good crowds there, too.
Yeah, I was one
never.
Of... Go ahead. Sorry, Rick. I was just saying, I was one of those idiots who forked over $10, not without realizing how asinine and stupid that was. I was like, I can get to go to training camp. I'm going. And I forked over $10. I sat next to a scout from a rival team. Here's what I wanted to ask you, though, with regards to training camp in Richmond, to piggyback off what Grant said. I think this is the new age, the new era, where preseason is becoming less and less and less valued for a million reasons. Then coaches are so afraid to get guys hurt. But the joint practice is something that New England really started doing in earnest. They do it every year. They figured it out. But because the Redskins can't do an even trade, like a college team scheduling an out-of-conference opponent for a home-and-home, because they can't go anywhere because of these dumb rules of Richmond that they negotiated, they're missing the boat again on probably not having a joint practice at all.
Yeah, and missing the rookie scrimmage is something that's gone away, too. That used to be the first Saturday practice, and sometimes you did it with the other team. And the Redskins had a deal with the Eagles for a long time in Carlisle, and then they did 5 years with the Steelers when they were in Frostburg. But you saw the rookie scrimmage game between the two teams, too. And you don't have that anymore. I think that's a real loss also. That was a big day. A lot of people came to watch that. The veterans just hung back. So, yeah, going to training camp's never been that interesting per se because it's just a lot of drills. But the rookie scrimmage was worth it. So, yeah, the Redskins are just blocked in. But, it's just this year, next year, and then I don't know where they're going after that. You'd like to think it's something to do with the new stadium. But my guess is they would be back at Redskin Park at least in the short term.
Rick Snyder, TheFanDC.com. I was watching A Football Life with Dexter Manley last night. It was kind of light night on TV, and I stumbled into that. It was incredible. Of course, he had 18.5 sacks at one point in 86 with the Redskins. What was covering him like? What a wild card, kind of a maniac of a person. But it seems like I've gotten to know him a little bit over the years and done some TV and different things with him. He was always the sweetest big teddy bear ever to me. It seems like he really is a pretty good guy who just had some demons.
Well, more so today. He was a little more intense back in the day. And that locker room was a little more intense back in the day. And you had just behemoths on that team. I mean, Dexter is one of the biggest men you will ever see. And they had Dave Butts, who was humongous, and Joe Jacoby. I mean, I don't even know. Today they have bigger guys, I guess, but those guys seemed even bigger. But the Redskins' practices and locker rooms, a lot more intense with the media, especially back then. But I liked everybody likes Dexter. I don't know anybody that doesn't like Dexter on there. So, it was a different era, but they were winning, and it could be a little more fun.
Yeah,
I wonder, though, what about a player like that now?
That's what I was going to say.
He gets suspended and in trouble that many times.
Can you imagine a team where they're not winning or they're 7-9 a bunch? And, yeah, you know what happens is a big group of the team that's very important to their success gets hammered in the shed every afternoon. You know what I mean? Like, that's something we normally do now is guys are getting drunk at right after practice is over. Can you imagine how upset we would be?
Yeah, it all changed with free agency money. Before then, it was a little rowdier of a kind of sport. Today, they're all businessmen. And there's so much that goes into, maintaining yourself in the league, including, nutrition. They have a chef now. The Redskins that won 3 Super Bowls used to eat McDonald's every day. And I know that because whatever was left, the media could eat. So the Hawks would always smash all the burgers so we couldn't eat them. I mean, that's the kind of craziness that went on. But now they're professionals, and it's all about doing your business and much more professional life than the old days. It was a little more rowdier, and the money wasn't as much. And Riggo was an interesting guy to cover too. I can tell you one time, one of the funniest things I remember with Riggo is after practice at the old Redskin Park, he sees Sam Huff in the parking lot, and Sam comes out to watch practices because he's broadcasting games. And the two of them kind of look at each other really mean. And Riggo finally says to Sam, "You think you can tackle me, don't you?" And Sam would never back down from anything in life. Says, "You know I could." And they were ready to do it right there in the parking lot. Right there, they're going to do their own Oklahoma drill. But somebody stepped in, they stopped it before it happened. Sam was in his 40s. I guarantee you that would have been a collision. And today, no way that happens.
I think I probably would have eaten that burger anyway. Even if they smashed it, to be honest.
Well, half of it was smashed. You'd eat that part that wasn't. That was the good part.
What about, were you around during the time, wasn't there like a plan at one point where like Dan Snyder or somebody in the Redskins front office was like, let's get a bunch of like fast food and leave it out so that the media is like tired and lethargic and doesn't want to like try to find stories? Was that a real story or is that fake?
I never heard that one. Yeah. And they cut the media off of food. Oh, a long time ago. I don't even remember how long. It's been 20 years, something like that.
Probably good for all of us.
I mean, because the old Redskin Park had nothing by it to even go eat if you wanted. Today, you just grab a bag, and I know this is inside the locker rooms, but you don't even get to eat now because of the schedule till 2 o'clock,
right?
Something like that. So you don't, and you don't have time to go out and eat anymore. Just one, your car is down the parking lot way down the road, and two, you got to tweet.
You got to tweet, Rick.
You got to tweet. How could you not tweet?
You're not tweeting, or even there.
TheFanDC.com is where you can read Rick's work. Always good to have you on, buddy. Thanks so much for hopping aboard.
All right, see you.
Thank you,
buddy. Have you on ideally next Friday, because we got to find out if he thinks that Spencer Breslin's going to win the Guyple Crown.
He's the horse man.
So he would know.
On staff on our station. And Pete Metters know so much.
If Spencer Breslin's going to pull it off.
But Pete can't comment on that because he's calling the race, obviously. We keep the integrity of the race.
That's true. He's never going to make a prediction.
Like Kirk Herbstreit can't talk about the game he's calling that night for college football.
Speaking of Pete, did you hear he's got his second biggest honor of his career after calling the Guy Tucky Derby?
Yeah, it's very cool, man.
He's going to be calling Nats baseball games with
that
Charlie
is cool,
Slows
dude.
Coming up in a couple series. That's pretty amazing. I think early next week against the Braves. We could talk more to Pete about that early in the week. Grant and Danny on the Fan next. Let's get you ready for tonight's action in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Night off in the NBA tonight, and then tomorrow, Game 6, Bucks-Raptors, and it's going to be back in Toronto for the first time in 5 games in this series. Milwaukee and Toronto saw a visiting team get a win as the Raptors last night beat the Bucks in come-from-behind fashion.
Man, was I wrong. I was so wrong about this. Big adjustment starting in Game 3, where Toronto basically said, all right, Kawhi, you got to do it not only on offense, where you're having a historic offensive performance for the playoffs. It's basically you, Kevin Durant a couple times, and LeBron James many times. That's the company Leonard is in for this postseason. You've now got a guard on Antetokounmpo a lot, too. So expend energy at both ends. Basically, break your back for us to have a chance.
He's doing it.
The numbers of Antetokounmpo against everybody else are what you'd expect. He's the MVP. The numbers where Kawhi is guarding him, it is a different story. It's basically 15 points per 100 possessions combined with the next best total these playoffs of 30 of somebody else.
I knew Kawhi Leonard was great. I didn't think he was this great. And maybe this is just him at his best on a big stage. I'm not comping him to Eli Manning, but my point is Eli gets hot in the playoffs. Joe Flacco gets hot in the playoffs, and that's kind of how people think of them forever. Maybe this is him at his best, but this is a superstar. We're talking about right now a level where he's gold, silver, bronze, medal conversation for all of the NBA. He's outplaying the MVP in the league this year. I mean, Giannis has been, I thought he was bad last night. I thought he's been poor the last couple of games for the duration of the series. He's been pretty solid. But Kawhi Leonard, 11 of 25 from the floor, 5 of 8 from distance, 8 of 9 from the free throw line last night, a 35.7 rebound, 9 assist performance. Pretty staggering.
Really? I mean, and Toronto, you forget. I've kind of forgotten about this, but as I was writing them off, thinking about that Milwaukee was going to win, and I did. I thought Milwaukee had this. I thought they dropped that one where they didn't play very well, and Toronto blew their chance when they had a 30-point road game from Kyle Lowry. Toronto's got some really good defensive players. Toronto defensively, when they turn it on and everything's right, are excellent, and Milwaukee hasn't played as good a half-court defense, and what that's led to is Milwaukee's not getting runouts. Milwaukee's got to play half-court offense, and their offense looks like Randy Whitman and the Wizards' offense from a few years ago in the half-court with, like, 9 centers and, you know, fruitless ball screens and a bunch of running around. They look terrible in the half-court, and that's a credit both to Toronto and maybe what Milwaukee doesn't do well right now.
Head coach of the Bucks is Mike Budenholzer. He was the top assistant to Greg Popovich for years in San Antonio. He spent 96 to 2013 there. Then he was in Atlanta as the head coach from 13 to 18. Last 2 seasons in Milwaukee. He is the NBA coach of the year in 2015 and a 2-time NBA All-Star Game head coach in 15 and this year in 19. Here's what he had to say about this series. His Bucks are now on the verge of elimination for the first time.
We talk about the character of the group and the toughness and competitiveness of the group. You know, we're, you know, it's first to four. We got to go to Toronto and get a game. And I think the group will be ready. They'll fill their cup up and be ready to go.
Giannis's superstar, Antetokounmpo, was asked about basically the effort and his play the last couple of days. He said they're going to go down swinging.
We're not going to fold, man. Come on, man. We're the best team in the league, man. We're not going to fold. We're going to go and go and give everything we got. We're not going to go there. And even they said, you know, they set a great tone and they come out and hit us in the mouth first. We can't fold. You know, we're going to come back to Milwaukee being pissed. Like, you cannot fold. You got to go out there and give everything you got. If we lose, we lose. Okay, cool. But we're not going forward as a team, and that's not what we do.
I have incorrectly predicted two of the last three games, so take what I'm about to say.
With me too, man.
Crumble it up and use it to start your charcoal chimney tonight.
Your kindling. We're not quite don't bet against cakes level, but we're sniffing it when it comes to this.
This series has been tough for both of us to predict. I have – this goes seven. I have a hard time believing that the Bucks, who didn't lose more than two games in a row all year, are going to drop four straight. While desperate now, they're going to lose another game. I think that they're too good, and they'll find a way to win game six, and then game seven could be a crapshoot. They'll be back at home, which will help. But I think they go on the road, and they win game six.
Now, I've thought Milwaukee each of the last three games I've picked them. Now, the first one, I said I see Toronto getting a game. That's no problem. Each time, I've thought, okay, here comes Milwaukee. They're going to do it. Maybe it's time for me to start giving Toronto the credit they deserve, frankly, in terms of how good they've been defensively and how smart they've been and how good Kawhi Leonard is playing and how efficient he's playing. Again, he's having one of the most 10 efficient offensive playoff performances since they started keeping track of this type of stuff. It's LeBron James three or four different times and Kawhi Leonard ahead of guys like Durant and others. He's been transcendent. But I'm with you. I'm keep banging my head against the wall. I think Milwaukee wins to force a game seven.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Let's do this. Last show before we have 3 days off.
Uh-huh.
Last show before four straight Nats games without us having another word to say here on The Fan. And maybe the last show we'll do pending results while Davey Martinez is still the manager. Let's play a little what-if game next, and you guys can weigh in. What if the Nats have a great series? Let's say they sweep the Marlins. Then what for Davey and this team? And what if the opposite happens? I'm not going to say they get swept. I don't think that's realistic. Let's say they lose three out of four to the Marlins. Then what? What are the results? What's at stake these next few days? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One year ago today on this show, we were celebrating the Caps getting to the Stanley Cup. A year ago yesterday, Game 7 against the Tampa Bay Lightning, Ovechkin scored in the first minute, Burakovsky of all folks.
As we clearly predicted, if you listen to the show.
A multi-goal game. That's right, the Caps are on to Vegas, and we're going too. Flights are booked. We're flying out. I'm going to put some money on Max Scherzer throwing a gem. The Nats were actually rolling at this time. I think they were like 23-8 in May last year.
Yeah, they were kicking butt. And they were on a heater. I think they were 10 or 11 games over when this was all happening. And we're just like, this is – people were openly talking like D.C. is the new Boston, not with like the bad city and reprehensible behavior. I just meant in general where everybody wins all the time. There was an open conversation about that. Oh, man, has it changed?
The Nats are a little bit lucky about this weekend. I just saw that – we got these cool bobbleheads brought over to us, the Marvel Superhero Day bobbleheads. It's like Ryan Zimmerman as an Avengers character. He looks like Captain Zimmerman, like Captain America. So for families this weekend, on Memorial Day weekend, strategically smart, they had Captain Zimmerman bobbleheads that they're giving out tomorrow. And then on Sunday, I've got a bunch of tickets for my family. I know my nephew, niece are going. kids are going to get Max Scherzer jerseys presented by Harris Teeter. So
nice.
Over the span of 2 days at the ballpark, yes, there's a lot going on where fans are going, I don't know if I can suffer through the heat and go watch the Nats right now. But as far as kids go, you get a Zimmerman bobblehead on Saturday. You get a Scherzer jersey on Sunday. It's about as good a time for back-to-back strong promotions as the Nats could ask for.
Yeah, because generally, if you're like us and you got kids, you know, that's who's not going out of town, right? You're anchored here. You don't really have time or you don't really want to travel with your young children. This is where you take them and grab your bobblehead or your jersey.
But it's one of those things, man. It's like, this is actually really sad to me, too. I was talking to my buddy about this last night. The season's basically over right now. I mean, the competitive portion of the season, now, if they really got hot, they could at least make it somewhat interesting again. Mm-hmm. But it's not even June. Like, it's not summer yet. This weekend, look at their schedule. This was like their, let's kick off the summer at Nats Park weekend. Everything that happened before this, kids are in school. I think summer officially either started today or within the next couple days. They got, like, fireworks Friday tonight. They got the Marvel theme thing tomorrow. They've got pups at the park on Sunday. Seniors strolling the bases on Monday. It was like this whole, like, we got something for everyone.
The big
it's
rollout,
Memorial
yeah.
Day weekend, Major League Baseball. 3 more months. We're going to be here for you every day. And it's like the season's already over. It just, gosh, man. It as someone who loves baseball, it kills me.
Yeah. Not having that is, yeah, it's frustrating.
It's like,
my usual move with the Redskins is in October, I start looking at the draft. You know, I take my first peep at Mel Kiper's big board and, you know, whatever. But that hasn't happened the last couple of years. It really doesn't feel right because it was like this, right? It was like this, you know, after they initially came here and had that season where they were, whatever, they were 51-30 in the first half and then the exact opposite in the second half. That was still fun because it was new and fresh. But we went through 3 or 4 years of just dreck as they were building towards something. Well, here was the something. And this hasn't happened where the expectations of the industry are they're going to be really good. Maybe not as good as they've been, but still really good. As the division's gotten slightly better, they're
most
in for
people
it.
Picked them to win the division.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't, but I didn't have them at this. I mean, I thought they'd win 86 games, 87
games.
You
finished a game behind the Phillies at 90 wins.
I said, I think they'll finish a game or two behind the Phillies and, you know, not make the wild card because there'll be other teams that are, whatever. The point is, nobody thought this. Nobody thought this. Nobody. You couldn't find one person who follows baseball who thought this was going to be this way. It's uncharted territory, honestly, because they've been bad, but it was the by design bad. This is the first time where they've said, no, we're in, we're good. We know what we're doing. We've got it. And it's just fallen. The bottom has fallen out. Really, really. It's weird, man.
I think if they sweep the Marlins, it goes without saying if you win 4 in a row that your manager keeps his job. And if you take 3 out of 4 from the Marlins, I think Davey Martinez for the time being keeps his job until the next series like the one they just had, the next disaster, the next time you're swept and your bullpen looks terrible and everyone's up in arms. But I think by not making the move before today's game, they're giving him one last gasp here. And they're trying to do basically what I was advocating for a few weeks ago, which is, you know, get to the end of May, give him a couple of weeks with a healthy roster and see what happens. I think it's also in some ways maybe, it's one of two things why Davey Martinez still has a job. If it's on Rizzo, you could say, well, maybe Rizzo says, you know what, we didn't give him enough. They haven't been healthy. The bullpen is a disaster. It's not his fault that the bullpen and the back of the rotation are this bad. But if it's the learners, and maybe that's what it is, maybe Rizzo is saying, guys, we got to make a change here. This guy's not it. This is not right. And the learners are saying, we can't make a change. We're not doing that right now. We're not going to admit a year and a third into post Dusty Baker 2 straight division titles that the neophyte who'd never managed once in his life before this was the wrong decision.
Because you're asking somebody.
Depends. Do you think Lerner's the reason? Do you think Rizzo's the reason? And it's either based on the baseball construction or something completely different.
Yeah, this is why coaches get fired so often. Because what you're asking is the person that assembled the group to either admit the group that you assembled isn't good enough. Remember when Vinny Serrato said, I gave Jim Zorn a playoff roster. First of all, you didn't, Vincent. You didn't. But that's why we have to let Jim Zorn go.
Yeah.
Now, Jim Zorn's a clown shoe. But you see my point. That's why head coaches turn over so much. Because GMs, like Steve Keim in Arizona, should be screamed about every single day that they drafted a quarterback in the top 10, spun him for nothing after putting nothing around him, and completely abandoning whatever philosophy, whatever process they had to hire the head coach a year before to go get a guy that couldn't win at Texas Tech with Pat Mahomes.
And he hired two head coaches and two quarterbacks in two seasons.
People should be screaming about this dude. But it's not his fault because X, Y, Z, P, D, Q. And so what you're asking is either the learners to admit fault or Rizzo to admit fault. And I think Rizzo would be much more willing to do that than would the learners. But then you run into the issue of culpability. And someone's got to be held responsible. And it's a path that nobody wants to go down. When it's losing, and this is what happens at Redskins Park, or has happened so many different times, when things start to go bad, the guys that are really good at doing the CYA, doing the butt cover move, somehow survive and get to change offices.
I mean, this is the first time I felt like this. This is the first time I've said this. But I do believe that Davey Martinez will be out of a job if they lose this series to the Marlins. If they split, I think, is really what's interesting. You know, if they go 2-2 in this four-game series, I think there's a real good chance even after that that he could lose his job. I think he needs the Nats to win three out of these four if he's going to save his job. And if they go 2-2, then it depends on how the four games go.
Mm.
Did you play four competitive clean games and you got beat?
Good stuff happens.
Let's
it's
say
baseball.
Caleb Smith throws a one-hit shutout or something like that. That's one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball right now that they've got. That's a loss. But what about the other three games? If they lose the series, I think he is... he's cooked. I really believe that. After what just happened against the Mets, my opinion on him and how responsible he is has not changed. My opinion on whether or not he deserved to be fired a month ago or today has not changed. I just think we're at a point where they're going to have to do something to appease the masses, to basically give a little bit of meat off this bone here. And also, you get to a point where there's nothing else you can do, and you got to try something else different.
Yeah, and here's – and this, I don't know if this approaches a full Thom theory, but stay with me. I think they've already made the decision. I think it's going to happen, and they're just figuring out who the replacement is, and that's the delay.
Well, that was the case with the pitching coach.
And that's why I'm saying that.
And when they went and got Paul Menhart from the minor leagues and brought him in from Derek Lilliquist, I was told that they decided well in advance – that Lilliquist was out, and they were talking to some other people around baseball. They couldn't get a couple of other options sorted out, so they promoted Menhart, and that was several days in the making.
I think that's what's happening now. I have no evidence. I've spoken to nobody. I have no source. I'm just looking at what I'm looking at. Look at the same data points that you guys are. I'm seeing the same things on the baseball field. I see the same frustrations. I think they've already made the call, and you win three out of four against the Marlins, who are god-awful, although they are playing well of late. Obviously, they've, you know, won six or seven straight. But congratulations. You know, who cares that you've done that? The problems are still the problems. The breaks, the broken, the underachievement is still all right there. Something has to change.
If you can answer the following question, you're going to win tickets to see the Nats and the Marlins on May 27th, coming up in the series finale. Where did Danny eat dinner last night?
Ooh, good one.
Danny and his wife and two of her friends went to a nice dinner last night. Where did they eat? We talked about it earlier in the show. We give you tickets each and every day on Grant and Danny, thanks to our friends at PenFed Credit Union, taking you out to the ballgame all season long. Courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contest. Let's hit the leftovers. Go around the league next on G&D. If the Nats were who we thought they were, they could take three of four, maybe four out of four from the Marlins and gain some ground. We'll see if they're able to do that. They're 10 back of the Phillies, who do play in Milwaukee. Series starting today. That should be a tough series for them. The Atlanta Braves are in St. Louis against a pretty good Cardinals team. Should be a pretty arduous series for Atlanta. And the Mets, who have won four in a row, get the gift that is the Tigers, who have the longest losing streak in baseball, coming to Citi Field. All kinds of momentum now to New York after they swept the Nats and overcame 3 8-inning deficits over the last 3 days. Meanwhile, the Redskins have announced training camp begins on July 25th, so we are almost 2 months to the day from the opener of their training camp and Dwayne Haskins being on display for fans in Richmond.
What do you think it's going to be like?
I think it's going to be certainly a little bit more energetic and juice than it has been the last couple of years at their early practices. They've got an attraction that they didn't before.
Yeah.
Drafting a quarterback, whether that guy is ultimately going to bust or not, I don't care if it's Blake Bortles right away in the top five out of UCF. It is a needle-moving, it is a impressive, kind of first couple of day unveiling, the rolling out, people want to see those players. And this will be no different. There will be chants for Haskins. There will be fans showing up early to get along the rope. They just didn't have that before. Add to that that you got Darius Geis back. Add to that that Landon Collins is one of their biggest free agent signings in years. Adrian Peterson is back, and unlike last year when he wasn't even at training camp, he's coming off 1,000 yards in a Redskins uniform. I think there's a lot more fanfare this year than last year, probably.
I'm trying to think back. Don't forget
they'll be on Hard Knocks if my dream comes true,
Don't you dare put that in front of me and then take it away. Because remember, people were so excited about Alex Smith last year.
Were they?
Yes.
I don't know.
They were. They were 100% excited.
I think some people were a little bit excited. It was nothing like Dwayne Haskins.
Dude, I don't know. With all due respect, I think you're wrong about that.
Well,
we should
take calls on that next week.
People say they weren't as excited because it went to hell, but the excitement level was high on that. Now, whether they were right or not, we had that debate all the time, and we told people, let's not be excited, let's calm down, but people were super, super excited. There's been a reason, quote-unquote, to be excited each of the last several years.
Drafting a quarterback is different. In the first round?
It's a different animal.
They've done it five times, I think, in 50 years or whatever it is. Jason Campbell, Robert Griffin in the 2000s. I think before that it was Heath Shuler. They don't do this.
Yeah, they don't do it very often.
First-round quarterbacks, I don't know that you can compare a mid-30s veteran kind of game-managing type to a dude who just threw 50 touchdowns on one of the most televised programs in the country.
Yeah, where the guy hasn't had a chance to suck yet. I mean, that excitement level is unparalleled. I'm not arguing that. I don't know. I just think because the bloom is so off the rose of going down to Richmond, I wonder if even this is enough. You know what I mean? For people to be excited about training camp.
20 years ago in Ashburn when people were paying to come watch practice.
Well, it's not going to be 7 years ago with Griffin either. And
those days are done.
Yeah.
I think those days are in the rearview mirror. I think they're chasing a ghost if that's the goal. I think year to year you try to get a little closer, get a few more fans back. And my guess is you probably did that this offseason by having a really good draft and not embarrassing yourself at any point. Now, thank God that you signed Landon Collins and that the board fell your way with Dwayne Haskins because you didn't do anything else in free agency that was particularly exciting.
No.
But again, you got really a three-headed monster here if you add Geis into the equation, who you've never seen play in a game yet. You got three dudes that at running back, quarterback, and safety, skill positions where fans care a lot about what happens and it's easy to see results, where you're going to have a ton of fan support for those players. You said you had some Vegas numbers you wanted to bounce
off. Got a couple odds just for the next time the Raptors and Bucks take the court. Does Drake step onto the court during the broadcast? Yes is minus 350. they believe it's going to happen again.
100% he will.
Does Drake's Game 6 apparel have a hood for no reason at all when it's hot?
I don't care, but I'll say yes.
I'm going to say yes, too. Again, that's
he's going to wear a hoodie.
That's even money.
What kind of fat guys do. Like, I'm one of them.
Sneaky fat guys
put
hoods
on? Yeah, you wear, like, either a hoodie or some kind of a thick shirt jacket type thing, and he's sneaky a little bit heavy, I think.
Will the NBA warn Drake about his on-court behavior?
No chance.
Yeah, that's...
They should have done that 2 years ago.
That's the heavy favorite. And we touch on this one. Will the TNT staff say Drake during the halftime show?
Absolutely.
I think that's the lock of the century, personally.
They can't wait to do it. I mean, they'll show highlights of his reaction to every basket. Because if they're up by 10, he's going crazy. If they're down by 10, they're showing him on the verge of tears. There's literally no way where Drake is in a story.
He's the first fan.
Which is what he wants.
The only fan that's ever fan.
No one else has ever been to a game, so it's pretty cool he's gotten access.
Nobody else has ever cared about if a team wins or loses. NFL's best record. Who would you guess has the best odds at having the NFL's best record?
I would say...
Usual suspects, right?
Kansas City or New England.
So New England's number one. I actually don't know that I would bet them to have the best record because of how they treat the regular season a lot of times, right? Where September's like their training camp. You know, they'll be 3-1 or 2-2, but I see them at 12-4, 13-3, but just march into the Super Bowl again, going through the AFC, which they're better than. I'd probably pick either the Rams or maybe somebody else to have the best record, but it's Rams 7-1, Saints 7-1, Chiefs 9-1 for the best record. So that's your usual suspects, right? Patriots, Rams, Saints, Chiefs. Who would you guess is the next best odds at having the regular season's best record after Patriots, Rams, Saints, Chiefs? Because that's the group you'd put up at the top, right? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably. I mean, now you're into like fifth or sixth. I'd have to give it some thought.
Colts.
Okay.
The Colts.
They were the best team in the last 2.5 months of the season
last
year.
The Colts, Chargers, and Eagles all at 10-1 to have the NFL's best record.
Hmm. What about the Redskins?
So, give me a second. I've got to slide down.
While you scroll, I'll go.
But I'm still scrolling down. I'm still scrolling down, Grant.
Keep scrolling.
Give me a second. Ah, here we are. Because I'm really close to the bottom. Dolphins, the worst. Bucks, Giants, Bengals, Cardinals, tied for second worst. Third worst.
Wow, the Redskins have moved up.
Oakland Raiders, Washington Redskins, come on down 150-1. That for the first time in about 30 years, not only do you win more than 10 games, which you haven't done since 1991, not only do you win more than 11 games, it's probably going to take, what, 12? 13?
Maybe 13.
13 wins?
What are the odds you said?
150-1.
Throw $1,000 on that, Danny.
I don't think I'm going to do that. I want that $1,000.
You would get rich.
I'm going to keep my $1,000.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. Yeah, let's all chop it. Let's all throw $250 in, and we'll split it all. Dar, you in? Dar's in. He's shaking his head yes. Oh, wait, that's him shaking his head no. Thom, you in? I know Thommy's in.
I'll give you $2.50 for that.
Nope. I want $250.
Nope.
$250 Beals. Bradley Beals. Chris Russell's in for Chad today, so there is no Baseball Dukes today, regrettably. We need Baseball Dukes back in the saddle as soon as possible so that he can deliver the results. He did a big, thorough research on how Trevor Gotts turned his career around in San Francisco, which is fitting based on today's conversation.
Looking forward to the deep dive.
For Dar.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.